Thank you for listening. This podcast didn't start because I wanted to become a podcaster. It started because I was curious about the intersection of the LGBT community and business, how leaders and entrepreneurs overcame obstacles and achieved success, and what those people had in common in order to inspire others who may be encountering the same obstacles. It was the client in my daytime job that saw that I was doing and said, "You need to start a podcast." And I figured it out. Today, I'm proud to say that we have launched this podcast exactly 1 year ago, and this is episode 25. We've interviewed 27 leaders on this show and almost 50 altogether. There will be lots of changes coming over the next few months to make the show even more valuable specifically to you, and we've built a truly strong momentum. I'm excited to see where this journey takes us. Today's episode, in full disclosure, does have a bit of noise in the background because my guest and I were sitting in his air-conditioned office. But in case that bothers you, our team is also working on a full transcription of the interview so that you can read it on the blog if you prefer. Now let's dive into the interview. Welcome to Gay Ambition Podcast, where we bring out the best in life, business, entrepreneurship, and the community. I'm your host, Paul Collington. I am thrilled to be sitting in the office of Joshua Hunt at Trelora, which is a real estate firm located in lower downtown of Denver, Colorado. Joshua, thank you for being here with me today.
You bet, absolutely.
And so I wanted to dig into the concept of your company a little bit because, of course, I've watched the promo video on your website, and you have a beautiful website, by the way. It's very aesthetically pleasing. And I'd just like to hear more about the concept and the idea behind Trelora.
Well, you know, this is the only industry I've ever worked in, so I've been in it since I was 20 years old, and it's been good to me. I made lots of money and was very successful, but technology has come a long, long way and has advanced the ability for consumers to be in more control. And when you look at what technology and great ideas have done for things like the iPhone or Amazon, even the burrito at the Chipotle, how far we've come in our ability to get consumer control quicker, and we're in an industry that's never been touched, and it's long overdue. Many people have tried to change this industry and failed, and I think we've got a concept and a model that's proven to be quite successful for a national conversation at this point. Getting ready to expand and scale across the U.S. So, pretty excited.
Very cool. And the model is a flat fee for real estate transactions. Is that correct? So it means that it's very consumer focused.
Yes, it's full service flat fee. So there's a lot of flat fee companies. We have a flat fee on both sides of the transaction. So we don't just flat fee the listing side. We allow you, the seller, to choose a commission that we pay to a buyer's agent. And a majority of our clients can sell a home for as low as $4,700, and that's with complete service. All of our agents are employees. We don't have independent contractors, and they're all licensed. So everyone you work with at Trelora, from the administrator answering the phone all the way down to the person that's negotiating and representing you to the closing, has a real estate license. And that's it's very untraditional of our industry.
Yeah, it sounds like it probably would disrupt the real estate industry a little bit. What feedback have you received from real estate professionals?
You know, I think it's a pretty healthy mix. There's probably half of them that support it. It is what it is. That, you know, they know that innovation is the drive of life and business. There is a half of them that are quite angry. You know, they go above and beyond and go out of their way not to show and sell our listings. They're pushing to see us fail. I think they face some pretty big challenges ahead if they continue. Our biggest success rate at this point, or referral point, is those agents who refuse to show our listings. Their clients are going around them and coming to us direct. So their disdain or dislike towards what it is we're doing is so large that they're actually harming themselves more than us.
Wow. You obviously have a lot of passion and a lot of experience. You said you've been doing this since you were 22,
yep,
and you've been up for like 4 days straight now. So that has to come from passion. So where did your passion to build this business, where did it come from?
You know, I think in an environment like this, I can say that from a very early age, I was a driven individual. I had my first paper route when I was 9. I was mowing lawns by the time I was 11. I owned 4 or 5 lawnmowers by the time I was 12 and had other kids in the neighborhood mowing lawns for me. It's always been this push to be excellent, to be more, to be enough for others. And I lived the first 30-plus years of my life in the closet. I built an empire around success in real estate. I married a woman. I built a huge family. I have 6 kids. And lived in the closet shamefully and scared. And in that, drove to be excellent everywhere because I didn't want anybody to see the flaw in me. I didn't want them to see that I was a broken individual, that I was wrong in who I really was. And so that drive pushed me to the heights of chasing things that most wouldn't, just to protect the truth that I was a gay man.
Was your coming out process, did it make you feel good? Did it even give you a bigger desire to push forward in the business? Or how did that process relate to your business success?
Prior to it, my success was built around hiding it. As the reality settled in and my ex-wife really partnered with me and walked me out of the closet, she and I are dear friends and stand beside each other. And as she helped walk me out, I went through the darkest days of my life. I stood on the back of a cruise ship and nearly jumped off and just about threw in the towel. Climbing out of the closet was brutal for me because there was this expectation that I put around myself that everybody thought I was great and that me being gay was a big disappointment. I grew up in the church. I was heavily involved in the music ministries. I was heavily involved in the marriage ministries. And everything that I was built around was going to be a lie. And climbing out, it was many days where it seemed like it'd be easier to give up than press on. And, I sat around and wallowed in self-pity for a year and a half. I didn't work. I didn't have a job. I sat and lived off of my money and didn't do anything. I sat in coffee shops. In fact, I sat at 9th and Downing for almost a year and didn't do anything. I wrote. I wrote hundreds of pages of just mourning and came to the conclusion that me being gay or straight had nothing to do with my ability to be excellent and achieve at high levels. And shortly thereafter, I birthed this company. And jumped back in, and here we are almost 3 years later, and I think we've got a nationwide concept, and we believe we're the Amazon of real estate.
Wow. So I'm glad to see you here and thriving. That's such a great comeback story and coming out story.
Yes.
And so everything's good now. So it's been about
five years
since you've come out. That's excellent.
Four and a half years,
And have you always been Denver based?
Yep. I grew up in Aurora, and those were my stomping grounds. I met the gal I married in Grand Junction. We came back and we lived in Aurora and, chased the dream there and had 6 kids. And my kids actually still today live in Aurora. And, it's home.
Wow. And your company is obviously Colorado based too, but we talked about expanding earlier. So you probably have national ambitions, or where do you plan to expand to?
Over the coming months, we'll be opening here another Denver metro area location, and then Colorado Springs, Fort Collins will be right on the tails of that. And then we have 4 major cities outside of Colorado that we're not yet disclosing, but we're heavy into research and the scaling process of that, and believe that in the next 60 to 72 months, we'll be in 300 to 500 cities.
Awesome. So exciting. So what is the Denver real estate market like right now? I know that I see apartment complexes popping up everywhere. I know that Denver's hot. What is your insight into the Denver market?
Well, there's lots of myths and rumors that run around, but some of the truths in it is, one, we just climbed out of the best year that Denver's ever seen in residential real estate as far as transactions sold, and sold a staggering amount. We exceeded any best year prior by just huge leaps and bounds. This year is already, and just clearing out the first quarter, it looks as though that we are off to the races and running again. When you look at Denver City proper, the millions of square feet that are to be developed in retail and office building space, I think over 4,000 residential apartment units or places to live just in the downtown proper area are coming. The investment in transportation, the investment in the entire shopping districts and everything as a whole is coming in. And, there's people who are bold enough to believe that we're the next Silicon Valley and that hopefully enough businesses come here and watch. I think it's a little too early in the game to say whether or not it is or not, but Denver's definitely a great place to be and an opportunity to succeed and live a good life.
I love it. That's where I'm from originally, is Silicon Valley, and I came to Denver about 2 years ago, and I think it's definitely a hotbed of entrepreneurial potential, so I love it. Can we talk about marketing a little bit? What
Sure.
ways are you marketing your company right now that have been successful, and what tips or tricks might you have for someone else who's starting up?
You know, I think it's anything. You got when you're marketing, you're trying to display the purpose or the why behind your company, not the what you do. And you know, there's been lots of talks around that, and it's really, you got to give people a brand or a concept to attach to, and that they'll want to take ownership in with you. And we've strived really hard to do that, and I think we've been quite successful. Funny enough, we've spent very, very little money on marketing. We have not invested, you know, just handfuls of dollars here and there overall. Our word of mouth is pretty powerful because of the disruption and the ability to save consumers thousands of dollars. How can you not be passionate about that?
So right.
We took a name process. Naming our company was very, very purposeful. It was a word that never existed, so we could own all the rights to it. We could actually bring the identity to the word, you know.
Because it's actually a remixing of the letters of the word realtor, right?
Yep, realtor. It's all the letters jumbled up, and we went that approach because we're jumbling up the way realtors do things. We figured we'd jumble up their name.
And it sounds better, too. It
sounds better. And, you know, I think, too, when you look at it, it's the definition of real estate. People are, in the Denver metro area and in many places, people are realizing Trelora means successful home sold at a fair price. And we didn't know what Google meant before it started. We
right.
didn't know what Pixar meant before it started. There's so many words that have been built that now have a definition. And that's really the key, I think, if you're starting up. You've got to get a word out around what you're doing, and you got to be unique.
Nice. We talked a little bit about how you've been entrepreneurial ever since you were a child, right?
Yes.
And so sounds like you were born with it. I'm wondering, did you study entrepreneurship and business, or did you just go for it?
You know, school was not my cup of tea. The best grade I ever got from the time I entered preschool to the time I dropped out in the 10th grade year of high school was a C.
Wow.
And that was in music. School just did not fit well with me. I tried hard to please people, and it just wasn't an area that I could succeed in, and I felt like I was boxed in. So the second week of my 10th grade year, I packed my locker up and walked out and never turned back.
That's so inspiring. That's great for people to hear, because so much argument these days about return on investment of degrees and everybody graduating without a job after school, after going through all this and spending all this money. And I think you're such a shining example of somebody who knew what he was passionate about, got into it, and built an incredible company and career. So,
well, I think that's it. It's, you know, school's not for everybody, and ditching school or dropping out of school is not for everybody. It's really, I think there was something wired in me at an early age to decide to chase a life of happiness. And somewhere along the line, I figured out that happiness was not where I was going, and it's not where I had been, but it was where I was. And if I could find happiness in every moment in which I was standing, I was surely to be able to keep happiness in the places I was going to go.
Wow. Awesome. And I would like to talk to you a little bit about seed funding and how to get investors if you're starting up. And actually, I'll share with you that in Denver, we are launching a local chapter of Startout. And Startout is dedicated to fostering entrepreneurship in the LGBT community. And our first event, which is on April 22nd, is going to have a panel of VCs talking about how to get early funding, how to get seed funding. So can you share with us any experiences about how you started up in the beginning and maybe tips for others who are looking to start up? And did you bootstrap? Did you find investors? How did you do it?
Well, I think early on I funded it myself. You know, I just invested myself and you know, took the time, effort, and energy. I do believe that there are some business concepts or opportunities that don't make money when you start that require an infusion of cash to make them go. Typically, those are around solely focused technology-driven ideas. I think those are far and few between. The Facebooks, the Twitters, the WhatsApps, those are for every one of those we hear that happen, there's literally 1 million ideas that fail. And so you really have to decide, is what I'm doing something I'm passionate about? And if I am, in fact, passionate about it, am I willing to do what others won't do to have what it is that I want to have? And until you find something that that's the message you can live by, you won't be able to raise money. And when you look at some of the greats, whether it be a Steve Jobs, a Jeff Bezos, in the gay community, a Steve Ells, a Chipotle, these guys were passionate. They drove a life of sheer commitment to their company and what they were doing. And in that, they would pursue that journey without exception. And until you find something like that, raising capital can often be virtually impossible. The other thing is venture capital rounds are truly a waste of time if you haven't built some validity behind what you're doing and really gotten the buy-in from the people who love you most. So there's truly many rounds far in front of VC capital, because if you just go right out of the idea of starting an idea and jumping and trying to get VC, they're going to eat you up if you have a good idea, and they're going to give you nothing. And they're going to take control, and the passion will be stolen. So, and which is one of the reasons many, many startups fail, is they chase money and not a passion. And so it's all about passion.
Right. They give me goosebumps a little bit.
Good.
My friend actually started a company out in San Francisco. It's called Awesome Bars, and they build their own granola bars, and they distribute them to coffee shops and different restaurants around the city. They're even going to be in Whole Foods out there. And she had a really interesting model where she raised money through friends and family as well. So you get like a certain percentage of the company for a certain amount of investment, and they've been really successful so far too. So there's venture capital, there's friends and family, there's bootstrapping and doing it yourself. There's all different kinds of investment, which I think is really, really exciting.
Well, I think if you look at all the companies that we know and adore today, and I'll give a few examples. Jeff Bezos borrowed money from his parents to start the company Amazon.
Right.
Steve Jobs got free parts from HP and started in his parents' garage to start the company.
Right.
Steve Ells started Chipotle on his dad's buck. And so there's got to be a level of your family trusting you enough, or friends, or people near and dear to you. You can't just go out and get big money. And there's this message in the world today that you can go be a Steve Jobs and you can skip the first 150 steps. And you can't. There's 150 steps before you can take your first step. And that sounds exhausting, but what this does is this weeds out the weenies and the pansies.
Yeah.
And truly, it's about choosing to live a life of passion and commitment, willing to do what it is that you don't want to do. Because I got to tell you, I just spent the last 44 hours wide awake, alive and well in this company, didn't go home, didn't sleep to launch software. I didn't want to do it. I wanted to go home. I wanted to relax. But the fact is, I'm so driven in this, I will do what I don't want to do, and I will persist without exception to the success of this company.
Right. Exciting. And so what does the success look like over the next year, 2 years, 3 years? What should we watch for? What is the software product, and how are we going to implement it into the market?
You know, I think you can watch for several things. I think you can watch for multiple locations all across the country. I think you can watch for national coverage. We've been on many, many media outlets. All the local stations here have picked us up. We've actually got two more local news stations picking us up right now that we'll be on in the next 2 or 3 weeks. We've been in talk of all the news articles from out front here to Denver Business Journal to you. I mean, there's a topic of conversation around us that's exciting. And so watch for that. The technology, we have some technology we're going to roll out to the consumers over the next 3 to 9 months that our industry's never even come close to being able to touch because it's too intimidating. And it's the concept behind this technology, once again, disrupts the ability to be a traditional real estate.
Awesome. Well, I can't wait to see all of it. And finally, I would like to ask, because one of the things we like to do on the show is learn about career advice, whether you're an entrepreneur or whether you're working for a company and looking to start something yourself. What is the best piece of career advice that you've ever received or maybe learned along the way in your journey?
Today, I choose to seek wisdom. Many, many, many have gone before me and conquered things and failed through many, many fights. And most of things, if I would just slow down and use the 2-year ears I was given and listen, there's so much to learn from the wise people in front of me.
Awesome. And finally, how can people find your company online or your social media accounts. Where can we keep up with everything that Trey Laura is doing?
We're all over the place. It's Trey Laura, T-R-E-L-O-R-A. It's on social media. It's on all the outlets. You can see our company cars driving around town. You can see our signs and yards. And you can see the neon green just about everywhere you go nowadays.
Nice. Well, we will look for that. Thank you so much, Joshua.
Absolutely.
My pleasure.